consistency to remain on it for years and years and years without diverting one way or the other. So Rasulullah ﷺ used to make the dua again and again. Ya muqallib al-qulubi wal-absar, thabbit qulubana ala dinik. O the one who overturns the hearts, make our hearts steadfast on your religion. Because the word qalb in Arabic comes from taqallab, something that turns upside down. If you have water boiling in a container, when water boils, the bottom goes to the top, and then the top goes to the bottom, and the circle continues. So it's going up and down. تَقَلَّبَ الْمَاءَ فِي الْقِدْرِ. And that was the name given to the heart. Hearts can flip. They can change. If you want to see a crude manifestation of that, just look at your children when they're young. They could be crying, you tickle them, they suddenly laugh. So they could go from being sad to happy in the spur of a moment. So the heart can change. And we need to ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give us thabat. And that is something that Allah promised the believers. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ الظَّالِمِينَ وَيَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah will establish in strength. Allah will give steadfastness to those who believe with the word that stands firm in this world and in the hereafter. But Allah will leave to stray those who do wrong. Allah does what He will. يَا مُقَلِّبَ الْقُلُوبِ وَالْأَبْصَارِ ثَبِّتْ قُلُوبَنَا عَلَى دِينِكَ. 12. What's the most important part of a story? The beginning or the middle of the or the end? The end. The end is the most important. And Allah promises the believers with a good ending. The beginning might be sour, but the end is good. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ طُوبَ لَهُمْ وَحُسْنَ مَآبٍ. For those who believe and work righteousness is every blessedness and a beautiful place of final return. The end belongs to the believer.
إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ.
The earth belongs to Allah, and Allah will give it to whomever He wills, and the end belongs to al-muttaqeen. So Allah will give the believers a good ending. Don't worry about what's happening now. Think long term. Plan ahead. And be assured that the end belongs to you if you are a believer. That was number... So now it's 12. Next point is 12. 13. Allah will save you. In this world, imagine that you are in a ocean, in the middle of a storm, high waves, windy, cold, and you're in a boat. See, that's the ultimate image of desire for delivery. It is even used by Allah in Quran. Allah says about the mushrikeen that when they're in the sea and the waves are pushing them and they realize that there is no one who could save them then but Allah, whose name do they invoke? They invoke the name of Allah. But as soon as they are delivered to safety, they go back to their shirk. An experiment was done on non-Muslims, Christians. And they were asked, when you're in deep trouble, whose name do you invoke? Do you invoke the name of Mary? Do you invoke the name of Jesus? Or do you say, save me, Lord? Save me, God. Naturally, the human being in that moment would go back to the fitrah and would ask Allah Azza wa Jal. But as soon as they would be delivered to safety, they would go back to shirk again. To be saved, you need to believe, and Allah Azza wa Jal will deliver you to safety. Allah Azza wa Jal says,
ثم ننجي رسلنا والذين آمنوا كذلك حقا علينا ننجي المؤمنين.
In the end, we deliver our messengers and those who believe. Thus is it fitting on our part that we should deliver those who believe. With the mushrikeen in Mecca, when they're in deep trouble, they wouldn't invoke the name of Hubal or Lat or Al-Uzza, because they know, you know, when they're in that difficulty, the veils of darkness are lifted and they come to terms with what they already know, that these are stones and rocks and they can do us no good. And somebody who believes that Jesus is his Lord, how could he ask Jesus to save him from that trouble when Jesus himself was crucified on the cross and couldn't do anything for himself, according to their belief? In fact, according to the Bible, he made the statement on the cross, "O God, how come you have forsaken me?" But Yunus alayhi salam, who was in deep trouble, and as far as we know, apparently no one was ever in trouble as he was. He was in the stomach of a fish, under three layers of darkness. The darkness of the stomach of the fish, the darkness of the night, and the darkness of the sea. Yunus alayhi salam, as it says in the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, he fell unconscious when he was swallowed by the whale. And when he woke up, maybe he initially thought that he's in his grave. But as soon as he would touch around him, he would come to realize that he's in the stomach of a fish. Now, my brothers and sisters, the stomach of a fish is not a very comfortable place to be in. It's not a five-star hotel. Stomach of a fish is designed to do one thing, and that is to digest food. And for those of you who know about fish, the most powerful stomachs are those of fish. Because the fish doesn't even have to chew its food. It just swallows it whole. And the digestive enzymes are so powerful and strong, you can give this sardine a few minutes in the stomach of the fish and it will melt. It will just dissolve. The enzymes are so powerful that the flesh just dissolves. It falls apart. And you're left with a bone. And that was exactly what was happening to Sayyidina Yunus. His skin was peeling off. And the enzymes were hitting his muscles, his flesh. And it was burning him. Because it's saved and delivered to the shore. وَأَنْبَتْنَا عَلَيْهِ شَجَرَةً مِنْ يَقْطِينَ, that Allah grew a plant of yaqteen over Yunus. How come? It is to protect him from the light, because now he's without skin. And the light would burn his flesh. So Allah made that plant grow over his body until his skin can grow back again. So Yunus was in a very difficult situation. He knew that only Allah could deliver him from that danger. So what did he do? He made sujood to Allah. And he said, "O Allah, I'm making sujood to you in a place where no one has ever made sujood to you before." And then he said,
لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين.
O Allah, there's no God but you. Glory be to you. I have wronged myself. I've committed wrong. The dhikr of Allah is light. Rasulullah ﷺ says in the hadith that the angels see the halaqa of dhikr on this world like you would see a star in the heavens. So that dhikr of Yunus, even though it was coming from the depth of the ocean, in the darkness of the night, it was like a beam of light in the heavens and the angels could see it. Yunus had some very good connections. He had the best lawyers. Who were the lawyers for Yunus alayhi salam? They weren't from London or from Washington DC or from places where you have the best lawyers. These lawyers were the angels of Allah. He had some very good connections. Yunus wasn't necessarily known among the people of dunya, but the angels knew him and they knew him very well. Why? Because of his dhikr of Allah before. Because of his amal salih before, The angels were familiar with him. They would always see this light coming from Yunus alayhi salam, so they knew him very well. So they went.